Tov of Tevis, 7th of January, Dr. Sean Springer, The Four Lashonis of Gula.
Good morning to you all. So, let me lead into the Four Lashonis of Gula the way the Torah does, but we really need to start with a few psukim from last week's Sedra. At the end of Shemais, Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to the Rabbeinu Shalom, right at the end of the Sedra, Vayoshev Moshe el Hashem, Vayoyimah, Hashem loma harayosel loma zeh shalachtoni. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to use the expression, sort of tail between his legs, so to speak, completely disaffected by this mission that he's been given, that has been an abject failure to date anyway. And he goes on to say, and only Moshe Rabbeinu can speak like that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umeyaz vasi el paro ledabe bishmecha, from the moment that I started to talk to Paro in your name, Heira lomazeh, it's got worse for this people. And as for all the Lashoya, all the expressions that he used before, that you were going to save the Jewish people, v'hatzel lo yitzalta zamecha, you haven't done any bit of the saving yet at all. Now, interestingly enough, I'm not sure if it's significant at all, but you know that we use the kapitla that were arranged, they're not of Jewish origin, but that ends kapitel he, and this is now kapitel vav, and it's the last pasuk of the Seder. So Al-Chachomim split the Torah up in terms of the next pasuk. Now Rabbi Shalom replies to Moshe at the end of Shemais, so this is the first pasuk in kapitel vav, the last pasuk of the Seder of Shemais. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paray. Now it's all going to start happening. So after Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint, that then is the result. So we come into the era, and at first there's the discussion about the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmi Hashem lo yodati lohem, etc. We'll skip that and go straight to our subject, which are the four Lashoni Geula. Or in fact, how the Mepharshim say, the four types of Gula. And they're not just the Shoinis, there are four descriptions of four types of Gula. V'gamani shemati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael ha'shem etzraim ha'vidim ha'isom, v'esko es b'risi, lochein emayim b'nei Yisrael ha'ni ha'shem. So tell them and give them the following message. V'ayt seisi es chemim tachas sivlois b'tzraim. That is the first of the Lashoni Gula. V'ayt seisi, I will bring them out. Bitachas Siblois Mitzrayim. The next one is Vitzalti Eschem Avodosom, and I will rescue them from the Avodah of Gaalti Eschem Mitzrayim, the 2 year Bishvotim Gedoilim. And the fourth one is Velokachti Eschem Li Laom Vayisu Lechem Lelehim, Yidad Pini Hashem, etc. Amoitzi Eschem Me Chabitachas Siblois Mitzrayim. So that's the Chumash, and it's all very clear that there are four Lashoni Geula. Now, in fact, of course, that has a ramification, deep ramification. And really, our Shia comes from the Meshech Chochmah. And to give him credit, I must mention Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zatzal, who really put me onto this, and also if you hear his explanation. As I always say, if you've heard something from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, it's never the same again. Yeah? He always brings a dimension to it, which is quite remarkable. I will give it over as best I can. I'm not in any way claiming that I can match his chat, but in case you haven't seen it or heard it, here, in fact, is the Meshech Chochmah. And the first thing to do is to introduce the fact that we have a marrying up between the four Lashoni Geula, this is the Rishalmi, and the four Kosos that we drink on Seder night. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us that those four Kosos that we drink have got to be drunk at certain points in the Seder. It's very specific that we drink those at certain points. So the first one, as you know, is Kiddush. We drink a kos at Kiddush. And the next kos we drink is after the Bracha of Geula, Birchas Geula. The third kos we drink at Birchas Hamazon. And the final kos we drink at the second half of Hallel, at the conclusion of the Seder. Those are the specific points where we've got to drink our koses. And the Shulchan Aruch says if you don't actually drink them at those points, you're actually not Yoytzi Arba Kosos. They've got to have, in other words, those Arba Kosos are very specific. There's a very good reason why Achachomim put them there. And this presents us with a difficulty. Because the difficulty is we've got these four Lashonis of Geula, which we just got and extracted from the Sedra, from those Psukim, and they are Vaitsesi, Vitsalti, Vigalti, Vilokachti, and they are twinned together with the Kaisers, and the Kaisers in turn have got to be done at a certain point. So what we need to know is, what have the Kaisers and the position in the Seder where we treat the Kaisers got to do with the particular Lashon of Geula? And that's what we're going to do. And you'll find this Meshach Chochma is quite magical, the way he puts it all together. So, to say that, in fact, the way he explains it is that there are four types of Geula, as I said in the first place. Now, in fact, just one thing to mention, the way we're going to do them, the order in which we're going to do them, is the way we read them in the Torah. So those are the four Lashoni Geula, but in fact we don't actually have the Kaisers in that order. The first kais, which is the Haitzesi, is actually the one of Kiddush. That is in order. First kais, first Lashon. But in fact, the second Lashon, the Hitzalti, it goes together with the third, which is Birchas Hamazon. The third kais, the Ga'alti, actually goes with Birchas Geula, which is the second kais. And the fourth Lashon, Lokachti, is in fact the fourth kais. So two and three are out of order, but that's all, and I'll point them out as we go through this particular discussion. So, let the Meshech Chochma do the speaking, and we'll translate as we go, and explain, hopefully, in a manner which is comprehensible. So he starts off to tell us, Vaitzesi, these Dalet L'shoyne Shel Geula, Hu K'may Shedorshu Chazal, it is these four L'shoyne Geula, as Chazal have explained to us, to tell us, Al lahitzi goy mikerev goy. Now the first thing is, and the first expression of vaitzesi means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something remarkable, which was to extract one nation, which were all entangled in another nation. We were very, very much entangled with Mitzrayim. All sorts of expressions in Chazal, halolu aibdo avodah zorah, halolu, we took part in avodah zorah in all sorts of ways. So we were entangled in the culture of Mitzrayim. And the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was to untangle us and to extract one nation from within another nation. Yeah, ku'ubra mitoch isha, just like extracting a child, a newborn child from its mother. And this haitzor, this extraction of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, is like taking something out of a womb. Hu sha'al shahoyu mishukoyim ba'avoyda zorah v'deos mishchosois. Because Klal Yisrael were all integrated into the culture of Mitzrayim, and they had absorbed many of the deus mishchosois, those bad opinions and outlooks that the Mitzrayim had, and therefore you had to untangle that from Mitzrayim, and therefore it was a miracle. I will say at this point that what we're going to aim for, and what in fact the Meshech Chochma is saying throughout, that of course these four expressions of Geula, and this understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us is, of course, a pian, a poem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Most definitely. The Torah says, this is what I'm going to do. But the way the Meshech Chochma puts it and portrays it is that it's also a praise for Klal Yisrael. This whole piece is full of Ahavas Yisrael. Because what he's going to explain is, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu did his bit, yes, he certainly did, Klal Yisrael also did their bit, and had Klal Yisrael not done their bit as well, then it, so to speak, in inverted commas, would have been impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do his bit. So now as we contributed, and so to speak, enabled HaKadosh Baruch Hu by our behavior in Mitzrayim, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what he did with these Arba Lashoni Geula. So we will see that as we go. So the first one is Vaitzesi, and we've talked about that because we were entangled in Mitzrayim. Then the next one in the Torah is Vitzalti, Ze Almashe Inu Oisum Lachaloisom. Vitzalti, as the word Hatzola implies, the organizations which do this, these are emergency organizations. Hatzola. So what the Rabbi Nishon needed to do was a Hatzola job on us, because the Mitzrayim didn't just want us a slave, they were on a campaign, on a continuous campaign, to try and annihilate the Jewish people over time. Yeah, their persecution of Klal Yisrael wasn't just stunned to get the best work out of them, it was a campaign in order to annihilate them, in the long run, Ukamoy, Kalabena, Yiloid, etc. They threw all the babies into the Nile, and therefore we see that their intention was very, very harmful to us. So therefore, because we were in a situation of emergency, the Mitzrayim actually were committing murder, and all the babies cemented into the wall. We know all the stories of the Midrashim. And so therefore, the Rabbi Shem had to do a Hatzolah job on us. He had to actually rescue us from the persecution of Mitzrayim. And as he says, Kematzil min Haratzer. He was actually saving us, rescuing us from an attempt of murder upon us. Next one in the Torah is Ge'alti. Ge'ula is redemption. And this is whom Avoid has ended. We transitioned from being an Eved, from being slaves, to being free men. So that's the Ge'ula. Being freed, that is the actual true Ge'ulios, Kachim, Bilti, Mishabodim. We were now free people and no longer beholden to another nation. That's the third Lashon. And finally, Ve'lokachties, Temli Lo'om. The Rabbi Shalom says, after all that, I'm going to take you to be my people. Hu la'am nimusi la'umi b'mishtav seder. You are going to be a nation with some sort of future, some sort of nationhood. B'mishtav seder, you're going to have security, and you're going to have a social order. All of those things are going to be present in your nation. V'Hashem aleim l'melech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the king. Now that is the overview to what we are saying, that these are the four Lashonos, and now what we've got to do is to see those four Lashonos in the context of the four Kaisas. And the Meshech Chochmo goes on to say the following very remarkable pieces of information. So what we get, the knowledge we get when we look at this Meshech Chochmo, shows his Bekiyas and his Hekev and his understanding of all parts of the Torah and how it comes together. So he reintroduces it in the next piece. It's right, the first Meshech Chochmo on this center, by the way, if you want to look it up yourselves, with the appropriate forshim, glosses. Dalet Kaisis Kaneged Dalet Lashonos Shel Ge'ula Vayetzeis V'Yitzalti V'Ge'alti V'Lokachti. This is Yerushalmi in Psochim, capital Yud, he tells us. Now, Kais Rishon is Kiddush. In other words, Loshon Rishon, which is Vayetzeisi, corresponds in our Seder to Kiddush. Well, why is it Kiddush? Kiddush obviously implies some sort of Kedusha. That's what Kiddush is all about. Why is it so? Because Yisroel Mekadshei Lezman. Klal Yisroel are Mekadish Zman. When the Rabbi Shalom tells us to be Mekadish the Chodesh, then what we are doing is having laying down certain markers so that later on there's going to be a Yom Tov. And therefore, that Yom Tov is in fact Kiddush Hazman. Kaddish Yisroel, the Hazmanim we say on Yom Tov. So we are the Kaddish Hazman, time. Of course, we can be the Kaddish Mokum as well, Beis Midrash, etc. Not our subject. We're talking about being the Kaddish time. When can Klal Yisroel be the Kaddish anything? And the answer is they can only be the Kaddish anything, whether it's Mokum or Zman, when they themselves are Kaddish. When Klal Yisroel are Kaddish and have Kedusha within them, then they can make Mekadesh other things. So, Kamash Omru, Kajazel Lechem, etc. The Emosai Kishahim Kedoshim. That can only happen when Klal Yisrael themselves are Kedoshim. Now, Vesomach Kedoshim to you, in the Seder Zachim Asim Kedoshim, you get all the lists of forbidden relationships, and Kedoshim to you, and puts together the Kedosh, the Kedush of Klal Yisrael, with Arois. And in fact, he says, you always find that the Torah juxtaposes. The Torah puts together the discussion about Erevah, the forbidden relationships, and actual behavior in a moral sense, together with Kedusha. You cannot have one without the other. Some are a nation that's not Geder Ba'arois, that it doesn't circumscribe itself in this sort of behavior, you cannot have Kedusha. And on the other hand, you can have Kedusha if we are circumspect, in the matter of Arayas, then we can have Kedusha. The Torah always puts the two together. And we know, of course, Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael were completely free from any integration of the Mitzrayim. They managed somehow, it's a riddle, if you think about it, of how they did actually manage it, 210 years, that's basically eight generations of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and somehow or other they managed to keep the Mitzrayim out of their homes. a Mitzri could have walked into a Jewish home at any time. They had the story of Chanukah, etc., where the Greeks wanted to walk into a Jewish house to contaminate them then. And in the case of Mitzrayim as well, the Mitzrayim wanted to contaminate Klal Yisrael. They didn't manage, except in one case, Shalom Yisbas Dibri is mentioned because it's only her and her only that was, in fact, was Prutzah Barois, and therefore the disaster in her particular family happened. But otherwise, Klal Yisrael, we are told, was completely free of any infiltration of the Mitzrayim. And of course, this is the Kedusha. They managed to keep Kedusha in the nation. When they were circumspect about this subject of Arois in Mitzrayim, the result was Shlochein Yitokin Voitzesim. This enables HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do an act of Voitzesim, this entanglement. Because if they weren't circumspect with Arois, that means there would be all sorts of people in Klal Yisrael. They weren't Jews at all. They would have been Goyim in all sorts of ways if there'd been integration. So the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlomo was able to do an act of Voitzesi, untangling one nation from the other, that means it was quite obvious and quite clear who was a Jew and who was not a Jew. If you learn the last Perek in Kedushin, you see the problems Ezra had when he wanted to purify the nation to find out who was and who wasn't. They brought the documentation, etc. It was a very great problem at the end of the first base of Mikdash, the beginning of the second base of Mikdash, that Ezra had. But in Mitzrayim, they didn't have that problem. It was quite clear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this nation could be extracted because they were Gedurim Ba'arois, they had kept themselves carefully. So it's a contribution of Klal Yisrael that was made that enabled HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do Voitzesi. Now we understand why the first Kodesh, Kiddush, is twinned together with Voitzesi, because otherwise it could not have happened. Let's move on to the next of the cases, and I'm going to take it in the turn of the Torah. So the next lashon is Mitzalti. Mitzalti goes together with the third case, which is Birchas Hamazon. So this is a question. He says, Yitokin lehatzil kishenochri roidiv oisim matzil oisim in agayis. But avaloi kishen roivin zeh ezeh. What he's saying is this. That in Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks on the scene, he sees quite clearly that it's the Mitzrayim who are persecuting the Jews. That's how it is. But that Jews are not persecuting other Jews. Because otherwise you don't know who is the roidef, who is chasing whom, who is persecuting him. You have to have the clarity. Let me give you a marshal, seeing two people fighting in the street or in some sort of battle. And it's not clear to you who is the attacker, who is the aggressor, and who is the victim. You don't know how to sort this out because you don't know who is who. If it's clear who the attacker is, who the aggressor is, and who the victim is, then you can sort it out and take action against the attacker. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking on Klal Yisrael and seeing that it's only the Egyptians who are persecuting Jews. Jews are not trying to take any advantage by persecuting other Jews, or taking advantage of other Jews by reporting, etc. There are a myriad of ways, we know all the stories of the concentration camps. Sometimes people fell through and reported and they got some sort of advantage. This did not happen in Mitzrayim. In fact, we know, the Torah tells us, that the people who were in charge of gangs of builders among the Jews, they took the klet themselves, they took the patch themselves, later on they became Zakadim, because they would not persecute their own people. They would not put their own people further than was sort of necessary and further than was reasonable. And so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a clear picture of the Mitzrayim persecuting Klal Yisrael, but not Klal Yisrael persecuting Klal Yisrael. And this is very important. V'zeh roimez al kois birchas hamazon. And this, therefore, is hinted at in Birchas Hamazon. Because when a person persecutes another or is jealous of another, that means they are not locked into, they're not tied into the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything we need. And if we really believe that, Azon es oilam kuloi betuva b'chein b'chesed rachim, if we really believe what we're saying, then that means there is no room for envy of other people, no room that I should have what he has, and he shouldn't have what he's got, etc. We understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives out and doles out everything to everybody according to their needs and according to what they deserve and to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels they should have in order to carry out their tafkid in life. If we really believe what we're saying, then there's no room for any sort of persecution of anybody else. And that's why Chazal put this Loshen V'Hitzalti together with Birchas Hamazon, because it actually has the same message, carries the same message, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the distributor of all things, and he gives me what I need, and therefore V'Hitzalti means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that only the Mitzrayim are persecuting Klal Yisrael, but internally there is no intra persecution of Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael itself. We move on with the third of the Lashonis, V'Ga'alti. That of course goes with Birchas Hagula. Birchas Hagula is that wonderful bracha we say at the end of the first part of Hallel, which is Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Ga'alanu. Yeah, that's the part of the Seder. And it's a long bracha, and it ends off, V'Na'ode Lecha Asher Chodesh Hagula Seinu V'Al Pedus Nafsheinu Baruch Ata Hashem Go'al Yisrael. And then of course we have the second of the Kosas. And obviously that's the one that goes with the Lashon, which is Gula, V'Ga'alti. That's the third of the Lashonis, and that goes together. There's a little bit more to say than that, than the obvious connection. What more there is to say is as follows. He explains that Ga'alti, we explained in the first place, in the introduction, that is the Ga'ula from being a slave. So we were no longer slaves, no longer beshuvah to other people. We were now chofshim, we were now free people in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he explains it in the following way, and here you see his longest coming in. Who should Eved Ruchai Shfela? An Eved has a Ruach Shfela. Let's call it in English language, depressed. An Eved is in chronic depression. He's got nothing to look forward to at all. Yeah, all sorts of reasons. Ad Kiomru in Gittin, we're talking about Gittin, those are doing Dafyomi. Choyvu le Eved Shiyasa Ben Choyv. That you're not doing an Eved a favor by making a Ben Choyv. Yeah, Zilole, Shichele, he lives where he lives, under the orders of his master, he's got all sorts of benefits that he gets automatically. You're not doing him a favour by making him a free man. All of a sudden he's got responsibility, he's got to earn a living and all that. And Eved is very, very happy where he is. You're not doing him a favour by freeing him. So an Eved has got nothing to look for. He gets up in the morning and he's got to do the same as yesterday. He just takes orders from the household and that's it, basically. Why not? Why is he in a continuous state of depression? And the answer is, Zemitzad she'inu margish yachas avayso. An Eved has no yichus. He doesn't even know who his father is half the time. At birth, he's taken away and sent here, sent there. Yeah, I bought him in general. Everyone knows about the slave trade. That's what they did. They broke up families immediately, and they didn't even know who their father or their mother was half the time. They have no yachas. They can't relate to anything familial at all. So what's he working for? We all work for our families, etc. People want to feel that their families are very much part of them. They're working for them. Eved does not have a yichus at all. He's alone in the world, the property of his master. But us, one of the attributes of Klal Yisrael was, one of the Loshinu Shoinam, etc., etc., and one of them was Laishinu es Shemaisayim. What did that mean? Laishinu es Shemaisayim. They didn't change their names. I mean they didn't give their children the names like Tutankhamun or Egyptian names. Is that what it means? It means much more than that. That they gave them the names like you do here at the Bris, yeah, of their father, of their grandfather. And that means they relate to a family and they relate to their ancestors. So Klal Yisrael never lost sight of their yachas throughout the Shibud in Mitzrayim, never lost sight of the yachas. To zichru yachas of the same, Reuven, Shimon, Nachtin, Basalkin. Reuven and Shimon came down to Mitzrayim, and Reuven and Shimon, in a new form as a descendant, went up from Mitzrayim. They always remembered their yachas. They always remembered where they belonged. Vezer roimus al kos hasheni, and that is all hinted at in kos hasheni. Sha'imrim alav chazi halel. We just said.
This was talking about kos
hasheni. No, we're talking about. Remember, it's out of order. Yeah. So we're talking about the third lashon. But the second kos. Yeah, third lashon goes with God. And that is Ramaz on the second kos, which is the kos of Gula. That's why I read the bracha from the Agoda, the Ga'alti. That is the lashon Gula. That's the third lashon. And that is Ramaz al kos Hashem, Shayimim al Chatzi Halal. We've just said Chatzi Halal on that, and we're ending off. V'naydeh lecha, Shirach Hadoshah, etc. Shem Yusuf al Zichron Yachas, Umam Be'Aweso, Zichron Aseh, and all of the first part of our history, our glorious history of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what the first part of Halal deals with. And therefore, That is goes beautifully together because we are no longer avodim, because we can relate to our forefathers and we have family, and we never forgot throughout the time in Mitzrayim that we are part of the family and that one day we are going to return in that way. And so we come finally to the fourth kois, Taka, the fourth loshen, which is Velokachti. And Velokachti says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take us for his nation. Let's have a little of the loshen of the Meshech Chochmo. Velokachti eskem li le'om zeh shelo shinu es l'shoino. So remember, there were four things. And by the way, the interesting about this four. We've got four koises, got four l'shoinas, and got four kashas. Four seems to dominate. The Vilna Gaon says that's very important. Actually, this idea of the number four permeating our Seder is important because there are four occasions in which somebody who's been through a difficult situation says Benchka Benchus Koimel. And we had all of those four things. We had the prison, we were sicknesses, potential sicknesses across the sea and across the Midbar. In our story, we had all those four events, and therefore it fits that we have this number four actually entering into here. So Lakati Zesh Loshinos L'Shoinom. So we had before Loshinos Malbushom, and now we've got Loshinos L'Shoinom. They carried on speaking Loshin HaKodesh. And this was important. Shaviyah Makavin Magul. Why does a nation want to carry on speaking their national tongue? Because they believe that there is value in it. They believe that there is value to carry on speaking Loshin HaKodesh because they had an Osid. They always believed they had an Osid. We have a future. We are a nation that's going to be a nation. And therefore we need our language, keep it intact. It's much easier to just speak Egyptian. Yeah, and have done with it. And forget about the old language. You know how difficult any of us who have children or grandchildren near Eretz Yisrael, and they make a promise, we are going to speak English in our house. How long does it last? Not very long. They come home from school, etc., and the thing turns over. It's much easier to speak the indigenous language. And Klal Yisrael made those special efforts in Goshen, special efforts in order to preserve their language. Why? Because of their nationhood. They knew they were going to be a nation. And this is the point. And they learned it, Belimduzem Yosef. They learned it from Yosef, Sher, in Goydel Chashibusim Mitzrayim. Even though Yosef was a top minister in Mitzrayim, Nema boy, Kipi Hamadabe Aleichem. Rashi says, what's Kipi Hamadabe Aleichem? He says to the brothers, I'm speaking to you in Loshon HaKodesh. Because I never forgot my Loshon HaKodesh. Maybe I'm a big minister in Mitzrayim, and for them I've got to speak Egyptian. But I still understand and still remember, and I'm fluent in Loshon HaKodesh, because Loshon HaKodesh identifies you, that you are the Jewish nation. Shoy Mekaber Osid, Omar Pakoid Yifkoid, he gave me the signal. Uzeu Chatzah Halal Hasheni, and this is the second half of Halal, Shem Yusud Alal Umis Asida. This tells us about the future of Klal Yisrael, all sorts of expressions in Halal, excuse me, Minametza, etc., and other expressions in Halal that we use that talk about Klal Yisrael's future, because this is the Lokachti, the Rabbi Shem took us and will take us, Li'ilom, Zeh Mechavan, Hadalat Kach Koises. And this is the idea of these four Koises said at those very particular times at the Seder, and the Savit B'chol Chod Mitzvah. We do a mitzvah at each of those Koises, and they are placed in a very, very strategic position, and they twin up, they marry up so beautifully with these four Lashonas. He makes another remark, which I think I've just got time to say in the 2 or 3 minutes that I have left. He says, interestingly enough, L'chein tiknu al hayayin, that the Chachomim instituted that the four Lashonas should be remembered at these points in the Seder on wine. Why after wine? Why not four matzahs or something like that? Four eatings of moroi? Just wine. And he says something most far-reaching. We started off by Tzesi, and we said that it was circumspect in the moral ways. That Yayin is the best signal. Anybody else that has been out in the big wide world and sometimes have to go to business meetings, etc., know this very, very well. Yeah, I've been there, and many of us have been there, that the fact that you can't drink wine with them is one of the greatest signals of our separation. This is the signal of separation. L'chein tikno al Yayin Sheheim. Because they kept themselves separate from the Mitzrayim. And that's why Chachamim chose wine as a particular signal of this, of the separation. And that's what they did throughout their Golas, and that's why they were redeemed. And that is taught to us all. In fact, we have a lesson from the fact that we can't rewind it. Einoi roa l'avdoli yos miyayim. There is no better way of distinguishing the fact that you cannot socialize with goyim than wine. Yeah, they're all taking martinis, etc. They're wine, and you're taking something which is not wine, not part of the social way of integrating. And exactly when Haman wanted to say something nasty about the Eden, what did he choose to say? He said to Achashverosh, "Im zvuv noif for the kosher shalech on the hem, zvuk v'shosev." If a fly falls in to the wine of one of these Eden, they take the fly, throw it away, and drink the wine. That's what they do. But v'matoyniam melech noigea for kosher shalech on the hem. If the king so much as touches the cup of wine of one of these Eden, what do? Chayv to makarka, they throw it on the ground, and they'll wash the cup out three times. Yeah, that's what the regard that they hold the king. So Haman was saying exactly what is true, in fact, that this is our way of separating. And this is the schus of Klal Yisrael. Schus of Klal Yisrael, and maybe we can learn lessons from it for the present day. And I think this is a very nice piece to say at the Seder, actually. Maybe it's I'm saying at the wrong time, but it happens to be occurring this week, etc. The Maaser, and the point is, the lessons that we can learn from all our lives, that it's our separation, which is our schus, and may the schus help us again and again, and in particular, to bring Moshiach, Tzidkenu, b'mheira. Amen.